Here in Acts chapter 10, verse number 44, the Scripture says, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word." We took a look last time about a group of people, and the subject of these messages is the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we took a look at the preaching of John the Baptist and those things that were done in that day, and how what he preached, and those that gave testimony that they believed as such, they were baptized of John. And then we're going to kind of do a little bit of review about that, and then how in time, it was a few years later, but in time, the gifts of the Holy Ghost were manifested in them there in Jerusalem. Well, this morning, we're going to take a look over here in Acts chapter 9. Take a look over here. Acts chapter 9. Nope, Acts chapter 8. Sorry about that. Acts chapter 8, we'll pick it up here in verse number 5. Acts chapter 8, verse number 5, the Scripture says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, your blessings, your goodness towards us. And indeed, you have been good to us, Lord. We praise your name for it in every way. Your blessings, your mercies, your grace has been shed abundantly upon us. And we praise your name for it. Lord, I thank you for your people that have been convicted, Lord, to assemble together one with another today, this morning, to worship you. I thank you, Father, for the services thus far, the singing and the teaching of your word and the praising of your name. Lord, for prayers that have been lifted up unto you, Father, we need you to work, Lord, in all things, because we're weak and we're helpless and we're very needy. We thank you, Father, that we can come to you and we can look into your word and the way that you've ordained things, the institution of the family, as Brother Mark brought out about this morning. Lord, you've made that. It's not been us, mankind, but Lord, you've created that for a reason, a purpose, and you've given us understanding and instruction about it in your word, Father. Thank you for the blessings of home and family. Lord, you're so good to us in every way that you provided for us. Thank you for the church and the way that you've saved us and brought us, Lord, through the course of our lives. And you've touched us and you've brought us here together to be united in this church. Help us that we would be united, and Lord, that every member we would draw near and draw close. And Lord, at the appointed times to meet together, Father, that your people would have a desire to come together to edify one another, to build up one another, to provoke one another to love and good works. And Lord, that together we might worship you with one heart and one spirit, Lord, and that we might do so in spirit and in truth. Thank you for each one that's here. We pray, Father, for those that are not, that you would help them, that they might be able to be with us again. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us with your word. Help those that are here even this morning that are not saved, Father. We pray that today would be the day of their salvation, Father, that you would touch them and convict them. Show them Christ as the only hope that they have. Lord, show him precious to the salvation of their souls. And Lord, save them. We pray that you'd work in it. Help us now, we pray, and bless with your word. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here we are going to consider this group of people that Philip goes to a city of Samaria, the city of Samaria, in Samaria, to preach to them. I just want to review a little bit about last time. You know, we considered about John the Baptist, and he preached, it says there in Luke chapter 3, about the baptism. He preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. That sinners, repenting of their sins, trusting in the Messiah that he preached, that they were to be obedient and receive this baptism because of the salvation of their souls. He preached, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord," which was prophetic. Prepare a way and bring the hills low and fill up the valleys and make it plain and straight because the Lord is at hand. He told those of the religious elite of the day that came, they just wanted to come and be baptized. He says, "Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance." And don't claim your daddy Abraham as being enough to make you acceptable before God. You're a sinner and you need saving and you need to repent of your sins. That's in a nutshell or in summary what he preached. Said, God is able to, of rocks, raise up children to Abraham. So don't think you've got a claim in yourself that makes you. There's one he preached that's coming that's mightier than he was. John came and there was might and the power of God exhibited in him. He knew he was called of God, and it wasn't a boast. But he said, there's one coming that is coming. Matter of fact, is around, it's near, and he's mightier than I. He says, I'm not able to unloose his shoes or carry his shoes. I'm not worthy to do that. That's how much greater he is. Look to him. In Mark, we look where he said again, prepare the way of the Lord. And he preached this baptism of repentance, and folks came. And they came confessing their sins, it says in the book of Mark, where we read. And then he preached in Matthew, we saw where he said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John preached that. So the message of the kingdom is here. And it tells in the book of Matthew that Jerusalem and Judea and all that region about Jordan came and they were baptized of him. He was busy baptizing those that came, confessing their sins and proclaiming faith in the Christ that he preached. We saw there also about how he dealt with those religious elite, the leadership of the day that came, and he says, who's warned you? You've not heard the message. And the indication and the thing that we can conclude from that is that the message needs to be heard. He came preaching a message indeed. And then he also preached there that this one that's coming is going to make an end of his harvest. He's going to clean up his harvest, didn't he? The garner, the wheat is going to be brought to the threshing floor, and the wheat's going to be gathered into the garner, and the chaff's going to be burned, and there's going to be an end made by the Lord. He's the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost and the Spirit, and that's in John. And the Lord himself said, even in the gospel, said, don't fear the one that can kill the body, and then after that has nothing he can do. But I tell you the one that you should fear. Fear the one that after he's killed the body can kill the soul in hell and put the soul in hell. Then we looked in at the book of Acts in chapter 2. We saw that the church was gathered there together. They had replaced the apostle Judas, which was betrayed the Lord and was a traitor. They had replaced him, and they were there meeting together at the pattern and the directive that the Lord had given them, meeting together and being there together to worship the Lord and waiting, as the Lord had told them to do. The church there, the membership of the church there, was filled with the Holy Ghost. They spake in tongues, it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, as the Lord gave them utterance. The Lord was moving in this thing. And the thing is, the Lord had worked. He had called them. He'd done many miracles. He'd done a lot of preaching for those 3 years that they were there from Galilee down through Samaria and into Judea and back and forth and back and forth after John's ministry. And the world was just being turned upside down. The testimony of the religious leadership of the day was the whole world's gone after this man. I mean, and they when they would hear him speak, it said, how does this man know letters having never learned? It was a marvel. And some he made angry, and some he brought to repentance and faith, and they trusted in him. And here is the church was moved on by the Lord, and the Holy Ghost caused them to speak in languages as the Lord gave them utterance. The Lord was not now dealing with his church so much in that occasion, but he was dealing with the doubtful of Israel, wasn't he? And boy, they were convinced, weren't they? 3,000 saved that day as Peter preached. What? The same message. The same message. Peter preaches that this is, that what you're hearing here is not drunken Jews, but this is the fulfilling of the prophecy of Joel. And then he goes on there in chapter 2, verse 22, and preaches Jesus of Nazareth. He preaches the man. Jesus of Nazareth, to those that were there. And what's he preach? Well, he preaches his death, and he preaches his burial, because we know he was buried because he preaches there in a great length of his resurrection, of his resurrection. And so for him to raise from the dead, indeed, he had to have died and was buried. And so we saw there in the message that is preached, that we see there in verse number 37, is repent. Repent. And they said, what shall we do? And they said, repent, because they had believed. They had received the gospel that was preached. He says, repent and be baptized because you have believed, because you have trusted in this Savior. And the Lord saved 3,000 souls that day. The power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what John did. It's what the apostles did. And you know what? It worked. It worked. Now, from the mind of a man, what can that do? How can that be? What can that do for somebody? But see, it's the work of God and the moving of the Spirit of God. And so in these, that first group, we saw that through the preaching of the gospel, they were saved. And then in time, the manifestation of the Spirit of God being within them and being there in the church was manifested to a people that needed persuading. Okay? That's what we're looking at in this. Now, there's been persecution in the church. And as we come here to Acts chapter 8, there's great persecution. Saul of Tarsus is at work, a man that's of great renown there amongst the Jews. And he has even consented to the death of a righteous man, one of the Lord's men, Stephen. And Stephen, what did Stephen preach? He preached the same thing. He preached the same thing. It cost him his life. And then one of those along with Stephen that had been chosen of the church at the leadership of the apostles to be a deacon there in the church, as we understand it, we find him in Acts chapter 8, verse number 5, doing what? Well, he goes out, and then there is a great scattering. It says there in verse number 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. What word? What word did they have? Think about it. What word did they have? Do they have Romans? They were making the book of Acts, amen. Did they have the book of Ephesians? Maybe the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians. Do they have those books? Maybe 1 and 2 Timothy. Maybe they had they had the Old Testament scriptures, and they had the account of what they had seen and what they experienced. That's what they had. And see, and at the preaching of that, what did John the Baptist have? He had the Old Testament scriptures, didn't he? And what did he preach? He said they're being fulfilled right now by this one, the God-man that's coming, the Messiah. And so that's what they had to preach, and that's what they preached. And brothers and sisters, it worked. Because when the Lord gets behind His Word, it'll work. And you and I don't need to figure out if the Lord's going to get behind His Word or not. We just need to know and claim the promise that He will when He's pleased to do so. And we just need to spread it. Amen? And so here we find Brother Philip. He's there in verse number 5 of Acts 8. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Christ. Christ was the latest and greatest thing he knew. Because he had experienced Christ. He had been saved by the Lord. He had come repenting of his sins. He had been baptized possibly by John the Baptist, or maybe by some of the apostles, as it tells us that the Lord didn't baptize any, but the apostles did so in John chapter 3 and John chapter 4. And Philip was called of the Lord through the church to do this work. Deacons need to be able to preach. That's what the Word of God, that's what the qualifications tell about it. They need to be men that can handle the Word of God. And our brother is doing so. And he preached what he knew and what had saved his soul. He preached Christ unto them. Amen? And then the people with one accord, what'd they do? They gave heed to it. They believed it. Unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. We don't have those today. But see, the reason that Philip was able to do miracles is, once again, at that time, there was a people that needed to be persuaded. There was a people that needed some convincing. And then this is at the transition time of the Lord having taken the keys of the kingdom from Israel, the nation, and it had been in their hands for hundreds of years. And the Lord has taken and putting His stamp of approval and His seal on His church and on the coming of the Savior and the coming of the Messiah, the fulfilling of the Old Testament. And the Lord, with a big stamp of approval, is making it known. What are the miracles for? The Lord tells us in the book of Luke that the miracles are for the purpose that we might know that the Lord can save the soul. That's what they're for. And what are miracles for? Are they for the believing? What are tongues for? Are they for the believing? No, they're for the unbelieving. That's the reason that it was there. And so there's a people yet that needs to be persuaded. They gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Verse number 7, for unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. Verse 8, and there was great joy in that city. Great joy. Because they had Christ. Because they had been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, this Messiah that had come and lived, that was God in the flesh, that was buried, gave his life and was buried. And even though he was dead, he took his life back again. That's what they preached. That's what he preached. And he is the Savior of sinners indeed. And so that's what salvation does. In spite of great persecution that it tells about there in verse number 1, in Samaria, at the preaching of Christ and the receiving of Christ and the salvation of the Lord, there was great joy. And I tell you what, we who are saved by the Lord, we are to be a joyous people, regardless of the circumstances and situations. Because God never changes. And our joy is based in Him. And yes, we'll have hard times. Yes, we'll have low times. Yes, we'll have folks will go through things. Some of us will go through things that the others can't even imagine. But our joy doesn't need to be in the circumstance or situation. Our joy needs to be in the Lord and the eternal life that He's given us. May the Lord help us to keep that focus. I may need you to remind me of that someday. And so, there's a certain man, Simon, that's there. We'll not take a look about him. But he had been one that bewitched the people. He was indeed a Nicolaitan, a controller of people. In verse number 12, look here. But when they believed Philip concerning the things concerning the kingdom of God, so he preached about that, the coming of the kingdom and the manifesting of the kingdom. We took a look about that some time ago, about how it was that this the issue and this situation of the kingdom was revealed more by the telling about Christ and the coming of Christ. And no doubt, as the Lord said, and John preached, no doubt the kingdom of heaven has come unto you. And so he preached about that. And the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus is his earthly name given by God. Yeah, but Christ is one of his titles, saying he's the Messiah. He's the Redeemer. He's not coming, but he has come. And so Philip preached that. And faith in him. They were baptized, both men and women. This was a thing that it wasn't just for the men to be a partaker of for the sake of themselves and their families, but this was individuals. This was individuals. Whether it be a man that confessed Christ, repenting of their sins, and trusting in Christ, and saying, I want to identify Him, I want to obey Him, and be baptized and follow after the Lord, or it being a woman. Men and women. I think that's significant that that's listed there. Because salvation is not a family thing. Salvation's an individual thing. Amen. And men, women, boys and girls are commanded of the Lord to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in Him. And we pray the Lord will move and grant help and conviction in those things as we've seen that He and know that He does. But they were baptized. They believed Philip. Concerning the things of the kingdom, concerning the name of Jesus Christ, he preached Christ unto them, didn't he? In verse number 5, and they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed also, it says in verse 13, and he was baptized. He continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Philip is a man that's come on the scene, and he's got some command with the people now, doesn't he? But it's not because of Philip, but it's because of his message. It's because of who he represents. It's because he's been sent by the Lord to preach to sinners, even those sinners in Samaria. Do you remember about them? What's the deal with the Samaritans? Are they Jews? Well, kinda. They are of Jewish descent. Are they Gentiles? Yeah, that too. They're a mixed up people. They're a mixed up people. Refer to John chapter 4. And take a look at there at the dealing of the Lord with the woman at the well at Sychar. And the things that he says to her. Oh, this land was totally, it was fouled up by an Assyrian king centuries before this time. But Philip went down there and he preached. And even on those partial Jews, the Word of God had effect, didn't it? At least they gave testimony of believing. And Philip was convinced so much so that he baptized them. Amen? All right? And so here we see Simon believes also. And then verse number 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the Word of God, we referred to that earlier, what did they have to preach? Had the Old Testament Scriptures to preach? And had what they had seen and been a witness of. That's what they had to preach. And that's what Philip preached. Okay? And the teaching and preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe that he had heard or that the brethren had expounded upon and taught there in the church. Didn't have the New Testament as we know it. Didn't have that. But at this time didn't need that because they preached Christ. Preached Christ. And so the brethren heard about it in Jerusalem. And at Samaria, that they had received the word of God, and they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. They had, right? It was manifested in the church there in Acts chapter 2 as we read it. And they, giving those at Samaria, giving testimony that the Lord had saved them, submitting to the baptism that Philip administered, by the authority that he had been given, of course, and being sent out by the church at Jerusalem. And then we see here, and this, we'll not deal with this, but this is a prime example of how missionary works to be done. Simply. It's simple. A church with intent sends a brother. And the brother goes and preaches. And when sinners repent and believe and trust in Jesus Christ, they give testimony of such, they're baptized. And you know what you see after that? You see the sending church checking up on the work to see what's going on. It's simple. There doesn't have to be, we have services, we have communication, we have this and we have that. But intent of that church and a brother sent and a looking into those things that are done, that's the basis and the simple thing that's needed. The Lord's given us a simple way. Now we have other things that we do. And I told I said I wasn't going to talk about that, so I'm not going to. But this pattern is evidenced here. And so they come down and they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. You know what happened? Let's read verse number 16. For as yet he was fallen on none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And don't get excited, because understand, when repentance is preached in the Scripture, faith is right there with her. When faith is preached in the Scripture, repentance is right there with her. It's the pattern of the Scripture. It's a way of it. We've got to take all the Scriptures that talk about what's preached and what sinners are commanded to do of God. We've got to take all those and put them together. And when it's mentioned that one is baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, the same thing applies. We've got to take all the Scriptures about that. They were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. They were. That's what the Lord had commanded. Do we think that Philip would do something different? No. But just by the listing in the Scripture that they were baptized only in the name of the Lord Jesus doesn't mean that we're to be Jesus only, but we're to do what the Lord said. And Philip did what the Lord said also. So don't let that trouble your heart and mind. We let the Scripture interpret the Scripture and we bring all those things together. They had only been baptized. And the brethren there in Jerusalem desired that they have the full blessing that the Lord had imparted unto them. Now, I want you to notice something here. At the church in Jerusalem, there in Acts chapter 2, the Lord moved upon the church when it was time. Amen? And the Spirit of God appeared unto them and sat on them like cloven tongues of fire, right? And they spake as the Lord gave them utterance. But look here, in this situation, it's a little bit different. The brethren come down to check things out. And these folks are give testimony of faith in Christ. They're the great joy amongst them. They are resting in Christ. They see that Jesus of Nazareth is the fulfilling of the Scriptures. They've received that. They believe that. They've taken heed to those things. And so the brethren coming there and confirming them, if you will. Verse 17, then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And so here, isn't it interesting how the Lord sends notable brethren of the church in Jerusalem, the apostles, down there to check things out in Samaria, to Samaritans who had given testimony and received baptism of being saved. He sends these apostles, John and Peter, down there. And they lay hand, they pray for them, and they lay hands on them, and they receive the Holy Ghost. You know who needs convincing here? Before, it was Israel and Jerusalem that needed convincing, and that's what the Lord did in the miracles and signs and wonders prophesied in Joel that He did in His church there that day. You know who needs convincing here that those that are a little bit Gentile can be saved too? Well, the church needs convincing. The church needs convincing. And so here, they pray, they lay their hands on them, and they pray for them, and they receive the Holy Ghost. Simon goes haywire. He says, I'll give you all the money you can carry out of here if you'll give me this power. They deal with him about that, and we're not interested in that. And in verse number 24, then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me, because there were some terrible things. And listen to this. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they continued to preach to him, no doubt preached to him about the Lord's church and what they knew about that and the things that Jesus had done and what he had ordained to be done in those things. They preached that to them. What do? And when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel. See that there? It's synonymous terms. When it says the word of the Lord or the gospel to those that are without Christ, that's what it's talking about. It's talking about preaching Christ to them, preaching the gospel to them, preaching the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of sinners. And so they went, and with that, what they do? They preach the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. I don't mean this in a bad way, but they said, you know what? This works for those half-breed Jews, too. We preach the gospel to them. And through repentance and faith, they believe. And they have received the gifts just like we have. Because how was it that the Holy Ghost was manifested in them? Well, it was the same way that it had been manifested in the apostles and the membership of the church there, the 120 or so that was there at Jerusalem. The same thing. The same thing happened. The same thing was manifested in them. The power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why was it that this was an issue about Samaria? Why was it that maybe they would have reservation about that? They preached the word. They preached the gospel. In many villages of Samaritans, and no doubt there were others saved. See, by this event, the Lord is showing that it's okay for them to do this, to preach this word, preach this gospel, that the Lord will make it effectual, that it is the fulfilling of the Great Commission for the Lord, for that the Lord said in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and all nations. Look at a thing that might be in the back of their minds. In Matthew chapter 10, look what the Lord said about Himself. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. The Lord chooses His 12 disciples here, or the apostles as we understand it. And in verse number 5 of Matthew 10, the Scripture says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But rather, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Matthew chapter 15, take a look over here. Now the Lord is dealing, I believe, with the Syrophoenician woman. A woman of Canaan, as it says here. And she desired something of the Lord. About her daughter being grievous, she vexed with the devil, it says in verse number 22. Matthew chapter 15, he said unto her, in verse number 24, but he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So they had these things that were there. And in Acts chapter 2, let's read over here. Acts chapter 2. The apostles are preaching here, and Peter is preaching here and telling about David. But in Acts chapter 2, verse number 36, the scripture says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And then in Acts chapter 7, we'll read another thing here. In Acts chapter 7, verse number 42, at the preaching of Stephen, he says here, in Acts chapter 7, verse number, let's back up. Verse 41, and they made a calf in those days, speaking of Israel in the wilderness there at Sinai, offered up sacrifices to the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven. As is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered unto me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Molech and the star of Remphan and so on. Figures. And so on. See, that was on Stephen's mind as he preached, and he had a desire for his countrymen. That was the focus of the apostles initially, is that in the church there was to the nation, to the nation, to the nation. But God had given a command to go into all the world. And specifically naming those regions that went out from Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria and the othermost parts of the world, he had named them. But at the time of his ministry, he came there to Israel. There were others, there were maybe some Gentiles that were touched, like the Syrophoenician woman. But the promise had been given to Israel first. And the working of the Lord was with Israel first. But then at the advent of the Lord's resurrection and the giving of the Great Commission as we see it, that was going to be the beginning of it going across the world. And so here, the Lord works with His church, and by the Philip going to Samaria and preaching, and maybe they were called the Samaritan woman. Well, the Lord did go to Samaria one time. I remember that time, maybe. And Philip went that way and preached. And the point is, brothers and sisters, the word was effectual, wasn't it? Even in those that were not full Jews. They may have had reservation in their mind. We know they've got reservation about Gentiles, and the Lord's going to deal with that. But in regards to those that were part Jew, the Lord took the events of those there in the city of Samaria and convinced the church and showed the church about the power of God, the preaching of the Word of God, the believing of sinners unto repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to baptism and obedience to the Lord. And then, at the apostles coming down there and checking things out, they prayed for them and laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost, didn't they? Just like they had. Just like they had. Here in Acts chapter 8, we want to take a look quickly here about the continued work of Philip. And in all this, the Lord is dealing with people, okay? And so there were the church that needed to be dealt with here in this account that we've read thus far. There was the nation of Israel that needed to be dealt with there in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. The Lord is saving people and then dealing with people and working and convincing all, okay? He's saving those by the preaching of the gospel, and he's dealing with those that are in doubt. He did so in Jerusalem. He did so here in Samaria and witnessed these things to the brethren in the church. And then here Philip continues on. What's he do? Has he got a new program, got a new plan, got a new message? Same thing, isn't it? Amen. He keeps on going. The Spirit of the Lord The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip in verse number 26 of Acts 8 and says, go down towards Gaza, and a man was there. And then we pick it up in verse number 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot, to this chariot. I tell you what, child of God, when the Spirit of God tells you to go and speak to somebody, go speak to them. And don't worry about the words, and don't worry about having to have a message, and don't worry about having to have an outline. You just tell them about their need of Christ and that Christ is the Savior. That the Lord, that God the Father sent His Son. I mean, this is one way you can say it. That God Almighty sent His Son to become a man like us, yet without sin. And He lived a perfect life and then yielded Himself a sacrifice, gave His life, was buried, and rose again so that sinners like you and me can be saved. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Well, the only way that we can have hope of life and forgiveness before our God and Creator is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Just tell them. When the Spirit of God moves, you tell them. You tell them what the Lord did for you. You tell them about the gospel and the Scripture. You give them a Scripture for consideration. You give them a tract. But when the Lord tells you to do that, you do it. Philip obeyed, and oh, and he was blessed in it, wasn't he? He didn't have the guilt of disobedience, but he went. He said, go near, verse number 29, and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and he heard him read in Isaiah, right? And he said, you understand what you're reading? You know, maybe you run into people. I said, I read the Bible, and it just doesn't make any sense to me. Tell them, take them over there and show them about Christ. Take them over here. Take them over here and show them about those folks there at Samaria. Take them over here and show them about this Ethiopian eunuch. Take them over there to the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and how the Lord said in the beginning there in the book of Mark, says, repent ye and believe the gospel. And why that's necessary and what it is and why they need it. But tell them. And so he said, you understand what you read? And he said, how can I? I need some guidance here. How can I? And so he read this in Isaiah 53, and he talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, we know. And in verse number 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture there in Isaiah. There's a fine one. And preached unto him Jesus. Jesus. That was his earthly name, Jesus. He just preached to him about Jesus. Why Jesus came. Why Jesus was. Why Jesus is. He preached to him Jesus. And they went on their way. And there's water that's there. And the eunuch asks, and he says, why can't I be baptized? See here in verse number 36 at the end there, the verse, see here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Why can't I be baptized? How did he know to be baptized? Well, Brother Philip preached to him about it, didn't he? Philip preached what he had. And he didn't have any of the New Testament other than the part of the New Testament that was later written about that he had experienced. Right? He'd been there in that time. He had the account of that to tell. And as he preached in other places, and no doubt very similar to what Stephen preached over there to those Jews that were there at that time, there in Jerusalem where he was killed. And Philip said unto him, verse number 37, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. That's not in the NIV. I hope you don't have an NIV this morning. Why would somebody want to take that out? So, well, you can be baptized if you believe. That's the same thing and the same stand that Philip's had all along with anybody that he's baptized, isn't it? We know it by the pattern of the Scripture and by comparing Scripture with Scripture as we are here. But now it's revealed to us in particular. That's what Philip asked. Well, do you believe? Do you believe with all your heart that he did those things for you? Right? In Isaiah 53. Do you believe with all your heart that he did so? Those things for you. He preached unto him Jesus there out of Isaiah 53. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be saved. No, thou mayest be baptized. Because you do believe. Not to be saved, but because you give testimony that you have been. And so, what's the word say? And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Few words, but a mouthful indeed. I believe that Jesus, that one that came from Nazareth, he is Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer, for me. And you know what? I believe God sent him. And not only did God send him, God sent his own Son for me. He is the Son of God. He is the answer of God to all the Old Testament scriptures. Remember, this man had a scroll of Isaiah. This man has got some wealth. He's got a position. And he's got enough wherewithal to have his own copy. Amen? And he says, Jesus is the fulfillment. Jesus of Nazareth that you've preached, he is the Son of God, and he's the fulfillment of this for me. He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both in the water. And of course, Philip and the eunuch, and Philip baptized him. Philip preached unto him Jesus. The eunuch is saved, not by baptism, but by faith in the Lord. And you know what? In verse number 39, what's it say? And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And look what this, look here. And he went away on his way, rejoicing. He was happy. Happy he'd been saved. Happy that he had an answer to his biblical question. Happy that he had an answer to the need of his soul. Happy that God had sent him a man to preach Christ unto him. The man was happy. He was rejoicing in the Lord. And he was blessed indeed. Joy in the Lord. Why are there no manifestation of tongues here? Was the man saved? Yeah, he was. Philip asked him the question, you believe with all your heart? And he said, yeah, I sure do. I believe that Jesus is that Christ is the Son of God. Philip baptized him. Why was there no tongues that were manifested here? Philip believed that the Lord was working and saving the Samaritans, the Jews, and even maybe this part Jew from Ethiopia. Well, he had been there to worship. That's the reason he was making this trip, if we understand things correctly historically. Philip didn't need any convincing, did he? Because he knew what the Lord was doing. The man had received Christ. He believed and trusted in Christ. The Lord had saved his soul. And it was manifested by his desire to follow the Lord in baptism, the testimony from his own mouth and what he believed. Why no tongues? There wasn't any need for them. But what worked? The preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now another group of people and another man that the Lord has shown us here. And so people that are the Lord's working to save. And then groups of people that the Lord is working in to convince and to make solid and steadfast and sure about the working of the Lord. We've seen Jews saved, and now we've seen part Jews saved. And even a man that didn't even live in the region. This man qualified for more of uttermost parts of the earth, didn't he? And the Lord saved him. What do you think, Phil? You think Philip's happy? You think Philip's proud? Philip's thankful, isn't he? Amen. You know what he does? He keeps on going. He keeps on going. The Lord carried him away, takes him over to Azotus, ultimately to Caesarea. And you know what Philip keeps preaching? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He preaches the salvation of sinners, the forgiveness of sins, the granting of everlasting life. The joy of the Lord imparted to the sinner that God saves through Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior. We have a great message and a great gospel to preach, don't we? To proclaim and declare to those. May the Lord help us and that we understand and have confidence and rest in the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.